Young people, come forward, please. Come on, guys. Hey. Don't fight. Come on up. Thank you. Apparently. So how are all of you guys doing? Good? Okay. I have a question for you. What is this? Yeah, this is a microphone. Very good. You all get A's. Now, what do you use a microphone for? Speak? Yeah, to talk into, to speak, so everybody can hear you, right? Oh, okay, I'm sorry, but you're both right. Now, we usually have microphones to talk to many people when we have something to say, and we want them to hear it. I'm sure you guys have seen people on TV who have microphones, and when they talk, people try to listen to them. Now, what would happen if I had the microphone and all of you guys were sitting here waiting for me to say something, but I didn't know what to say? How would you guys feel about that? If you guys were just... Okay. So you would go to sleep if I didn't have anything to say. Okay. What? Yeah, you would wait for a little bit, but you wouldn't wait forever, would you? Probably not, right? So, if I wasn't ready, you guys would get frustrated with me. And if I... When are we what? Oh, not yet. I'm not going to the dessert place yet. Part of today's scripture was 1 Peter 3:15. It said, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to answer anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." How do you prepare to answer a question? Do you look for the answer? Do you read, study? Maybe you go to school? Well, if you would like to share with your friends about Jesus, you kind of have to learn a little bit about him yourself. Part of that is coming to church, coming to something like Vacation Bible School. I think the most important part is just remembering where our hope comes from, and that is from Jesus. Now, the verse didn't just end with being prepared. It's said to tell people this news with gentleness and respect. Do you guys know what gentleness is and respect? What's gentleness and respect? How about, is yelling at someone being gentle? No, yelling at someone isn't being gentle. How about insulting them because they didn't know who Jesus was? Is that being respectful to them? No. So what I'm trying to say is be prepared for when somebody hands you a chance to talk, just as if they would hand you a microphone. Sometimes you have to prepare for that, and you have to be gentle and respectful about it. Okay, now you can go to the dessert place. I think we have Junior. Yeah, there's Junior Church, too. Maybe you haven't been to school for a while. It is summertime, after all. But there are two words nearly guaranteed to bring a moan from your class. Pop quiz. Well, good morning, class. Guess what I have for you this morning? A pop quiz. Let's see if you can answer some of these commonly asked questions. What is the capital of the United States of America? What is your telephone number? Do you like ketchup, mustard, or relish on your hamburgers? Okay, maybe those questions shouldn't have been too terribly hard. But how about some of these questions? How do you know there is a God? How do you know Jesus died and rose from the dead? Why do you trust the Bible? Why do good people, babies, and innocent people suffer? Are those questions a little harder? I know they are for me. Unlike the first set of questions, where I've had the right answer drilled into me, these require some thought and some studying. 1 Peter 3:15 said to be prepared to answer questions about the reason for the hope that you have. If you think back to high school, the kids who did well in those pop quizzes weren't necessarily the smartest ones. They were the kids that were most prepared. Today, I'd like to talk to you about something called apologetics. Apologetics is basically defined as the science of defending the Christian faith. Many people have doubts about our faith. One quote I read was, to be a Christian, you have to commit intellectual suicide because no one with a brain could be a Christian. That is so untrue. Just so you know. The more I'm learning about the Bible and Christ, the stronger my faith has become. There's so much evidence out there that supports that the Bible and all the events that were in the Bible are true. Here's just an example. Let's look at one commonly asked question. How do you know the Bible is not just a story that someone wrote? There's so many pieces of fiction today that many people don't know why it's not just a good story that somebody wrote. Well, first of all, the Bible was written over 60 generations, which is 1,500 years. The sheer length of time it took to write is just absolutely astounding. It was written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and the Bible was written in three languages. There were also over 35 authors, and the authors were all very, very different. Peter was a fisherman. David and Solomon, they were kings. Luke was a doctor. Joshua was a military leader. Jeremiah was a cupbearer. Matthew was a tax collector. The list goes on. They were all very different. And yet, with all of those variables, the Bible still stays consistent throughout. And there's just so much more evidence out there as well, just to answer that one question. Without learning these facts, I would have stumbled over an answer. But now that I do know more, I am better prepared if someone would ask me that question. However, there are many more questions I still do not have answers for. I am not a scholar who has studied the Bible in great depth for many, many years. To be honest, I used to think I should just leave that to other people to figure out. I knew Jesus died and rose again because he saved me. I knew that there was a God because I have felt his presence and he has given me incredible peace in rough times. I knew the Bible is true because there is so much truth in that book for it to be anything other than true for my life. Why do I need to know any more than that? Over the years, I've had a few friends who asked me why I believe what I did. I could tell them what I knew, but when they tried to find out more, I couldn't answer them. Beyond my own testimony, I wasn't prepared. I could point them to other people who I thought would know some answers, but I doubt that they asked. After I had left them, I felt like I had completely failed them. Some people find Jesus while they're stumbling blindly. Like me, they are content to just be steadfast in what they know. I'd like to think I've always had a pretty strong faith, but by the world's standards, it would be a blind faith. What I knew wasn't wrong, it's just that there's so much more out there that I can add on to it. Some people have been hurt by trying to follow other religions blindly. Then they become doubtful of any other faith. The wonderful news is God's story does check out. From a historical perspective, there are over 25,000 historical artifacts found that support the Bible and the events said to have happened within its pages. So I've begun to learn. Recently, one of my friends has been having serious conversations with me. She's one of those people who tries to find answers, but her questions don't comfort the people that she asks. She looks for facts, logic, and she asks honest questions. But testimonies are important to her, but it's not enough. A lot of people, unfortunately, grew angry with her when she would ask them these questions. And they felt like she was attacking their faith. She wasn't, but when they became angry, she got pushed even further away from finding Jesus. She searched the internet, but many of the answers there were trying their hardest to disprove the truth, or they only left a lot more questions. Scripture today talked about showing God's love through our actions. It stated many important ways to show that. One way is not to repay an insult with another insult or any evil with evil, but to repay them with a blessing. The Bible said to seek peace and goodness, and I think that's when people begin to turn and look. When you do good at a time when it would be so easy to do wrong, other people begin to notice you are different. Verse 13 to 14 said, "Who is going to harm you when you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed." That is where people begin to realize that you have a hope and a strength that is not your own, which may be missing from their lives. One thing I noticed was that it said to be ready when people asked. This means they want to know why we have hope, not have facts forced down their throats. That goes along with gentleness and respect. Part of respecting people is to be patient. Sometimes we have a chance to sow seeds, but we don't always get to watch the seeds grow. Just be patient and wait for that person. It's not easy when you know the truth and somebody else is struggling with that. Remember back to when you didn't understand? One way to show respect is by admitting you don't know an answer to a question. If you don't know an answer, say so. It's okay. It's very frustrating trying to deal with someone who refuses to admit that and tries to cover up for it. Their best response is, I don't know, but let's find out. Then look it up. Ask someone. Find out. How do you find answers to those tough questions? Because there are a lot of them. Fortunately, in today's day and age, we have many options. One of them is going straight to the most important source, the Bible. This book trumps any other source. I don't have all the answers, and no one here on earth does, except for the true author of this book. He is the one that you should turn to first. The truth is there. I once heard a quote that, if God gives you a watch, are you honoring him more by asking him what time it is or by simply consulting the watch? Maybe we have been blessed to have Bibles for a reason. Sometimes you might not know where in the Bible to look, though. Come to church. You're all here now. Many of the life's tough questions are answered from the spot which I am now standing. Church provides you with more than just simple facts. Many sermons have this unique and cool ability to simply take words from the Bible and show them how to apply them to your life in amazing ways. Talk to people whom you trust and respect. Talk to Pastor Sonny. There are many people. The church is more than a building. These are people from which you can learn. Their testimonies are such an encouragement, but they are also a great resource to go learn more about these tough questions. A lot of these people have gone through the same thing before. Another option I have used is called the internet. There are wonderful websites out there, but the internet should be used with caution. One website I really like is called alwaysbeready.com. I wonder where they got the idea for their name, Always Be Ready. I like how this site breaks up the questions and the answers, and the answers are in a short, understandable format, the kind of answer that you would use in a conversation. Many common questions are also listed here, too. Finally, there are many books out there that are really, really good. I really recommend a book called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. The author was a journalist who wrote about court cases and was an atheist. When his wife became a Christian, he started studying for 2 years who this guy named Jesus was. His book is all about the evidence for Jesus Christ. In the end, he became a Christian, but not before asking many tough questions. The answers he found are recorded for you to read. If you don't like to read, they made it into a movie. Lee Strobel wrote 2 books. The first that I already mentioned is The Case for Christ. That book was filled with questions and answers about how we know Jesus existed and how we know that he was who he said he was. It also goes into questions about Jesus' death and his resurrection. The second book is called The Case for Faith. This book deals with more of the questions that are less easily explained, such as why is there so much suffering in the world? A lot of the questions we are fortunate enough to talk about here at church, but it is nice to have them in a written format at your fingertips. Several of my friends, my mother, and I have all read these books. We read them at different times for completely different reasons. The books were written in a way where you may draw your own conclusion, but here's the evidence. Here's the arguments, the reasons, and the historical facts that we have. I think it helped us to make us more well-rounded in our faith because we became less blind in our faith and more firmly set. This was how I first started to learn that there is more to learn, that I have a lot more to learn yet. Okay, all these ways are important and it gives you a chance to do your homework and prepare yourself, but something that is important to tell you is if you've already accepted Jesus into your life, you've already found the biggest answer. In some ways, you will never be completely ready to answer every single question, but you are able to answer some of them. Luke 21:14-15 says, "But make up your mind beforehand not to worry how you will defend yourselves, For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. I found a lot of comfort in that verse when I was trying to talk to my friends. If I feel myself getting defensive or frustrated, I send one of those quick, half-panicked prayers that I'm sure we've all prayed, asking for words of wisdom that I don't have. Whenever I've done that, while I've never had a person convert on the spot to Christianity and to following Jesus, I have been able to walk away feeling that for once I haven't failed this pop quiz. While it might not have been a perfect score, at least I didn't fail. I didn't let anyone down. Just like a pop quiz, you'll never know when you're going to be asked. Be patient and gentle and respectful to those who come to you to ask. Don't be afraid to talk to them or to say that you don't know all the answers. And don't be afraid to learn more. Despite what the world wants you to believe, science and history does not disprove our faith. You might even be amazed about how much your own faith grows as you have a chance to learn. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather here to learn more about you. Help us show others who you are through our own lives. Please guide our words and help us be ready to explain to others why we have the joy and the hope that we do, even when things are getting really rough. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the benediction. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.